past few months, as I've been talking about the Holy Spirit and our need of the Holy Spirit, that we land on this particular topic on Mission Sunday, the Father's mission. And so for the question I've been asking, as we've also decided and prayed about as a church, is that our theme for this year is, "Oh, come, Holy Spirit." And the question I've been asking and praying for has been, for what purpose? For what purpose does our cry, do our hearts cry out for the Holy Spirit? And so I want to read to you this book that I've been reading. It's called Lead with Prayer. I highly recommend it. It's not just for pastors or people that are in ministry. It's stories on prayer, even in the lives of CEOs, people running businesses, and just how prayer impacts their lives and making decisions. So I highly recommend it. It's called Lead with Prayer. And so there's this story here that I wanted to read to you. It says, Ayla Tassi grew up as a Muslim in a community with no Christians at all. Not for miles. When he was in high school, a Christian teacher came to work at the school, and that man shared with Ayla the good news of Jesus. Ayla converted to Christianity, and as a result, he was no longer welcome in his family's home. In this time of great upheaval, Ayla didn't know what to do. I knew that the God of the Bible relates to people differently than Allah. Ayla said, so I thought of him like a normal person. So I said, God, I want to have an appointment with you, and I want you to tell me what you want to do with my life. Ayla reasoned, if he wants me, he should lead me. And as the story goes on, it just shares about how Isla's relationship with God grew through prayer and the things that God began to do through the life of Ayla. And it says, as the years passed, Ayla founded the organization Lifeway Mission International. And he started to share the gospel across Kenya. God led him to people who began Bible studies, which then led to church being formed, which led to entire people groups hearing about Jesus. When Lifeway Mission International began in 1994, there were 26 unreached people groups in Kenya. Now, largely through the exponential growing work of Lifeway and its partners, there are just two, and they are being engaged this year, says Ayla. Across Eastern Africa, Lifeway is engaged with 146 tribes. And the reason I share with you that story is not necessarily about Ayla. I think we look at individuals that like Ayla and look, wow, look at what they're doing. But I actually wanted to focus on the Christian teacher that was there, was briefly mentioned, but was the one that led him to Christ. Our lives cause ripple effects into the lives of others. What will be the ripple effect of the life that God has called you to? Whatever it is, you cannot do it alone. God promises to be with you and to go with you. Here is Ayla, a teacher. Maybe shared, we don't know the full story about the teacher. Maybe the teacher shared, went home that day, and was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, that went horribly wrong. Did I even share the gospel right? I don't even know what's going to happen. Oh man, this guy's going to think that I'm weird. But no, a life was changed and transformed. We don't even know what's happening in Isla's heart. Maybe Isla's been praying, the teacher has been praying for Ayla, and the teacher's like, oh, this is my moment to share the gospel. Should I do it? Should I not do it? We don't know. But the Christian teacher is just briefly mentioned, and yet here is a life that is touched that then causes a ripple effect on the lives of hundreds and thousands as well. The lives we live cause ripple effects on others, and especially for some of us that may find our careers and the places we are as being meaningless and purposeless, I want to challenge you that it is not. Sometimes we secularize work and separate it from ministry. And the challenge for us this morning is to see the place where God has called us to be as our place of mission. And so the biblical truth that I've been trying to just simply convey for the last few months has been that I cannot be and do what God has called me to be and do without the Holy Spirit. It's for us to have a deep understanding in our hearts and just a humble surrender in our lives that whatever God has set before us, we cannot be and do those things without the Holy Spirit. that just as God calls SP to know him, to be like him, and to make him known, it is not something that we do on our own strength, but it is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that enables us to know him, to be like him, and to make him known. And so today's reading is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, as I finish these verses. It says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed on his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him and out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, that it would speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, soften our hearts to what you want to say this morning. That you're calling us outside of our comforts into many places, the greater unknown. That you're working in our lives to be more like you. That you're working in our lives to do great and wondrous works. Father, soften our hearts that we may come to the place of surrender where we say, "Holy Spirit, I need you." Not just as a phrase or as something that we know, but something that we have a deep encounter with you, Holy Spirit, that we need you, that we cannot be and do what you have called us to be and do without you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And so before moving on to today's main point, I just kind of want to briefly go over the last three points that I've been speaking on the last few months. And the first point has been, we've been going over the essentials here of what this message has been about. And the first one is the Father's promise, the Father's authority, and the Father's empowerment, concluded today with the Father's mission. So the first one, the Father's promise, we have the verse up there as well. That when you read that verse where Jesus says, "Wait for the promise of the Father," there you go, "you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The Father's promise is the promise of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is a person who is God, co-eternal with the Father and the Son, and that God grants the Holy Spirit to all who believe. That is the Father's promise for you to receive the Holy Spirit. And that we can have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is there to guide us, comfort us, lead us, give us peace, counsel us, bring conviction of sin, empower us, and transform us. So the Holy Spirit is working in our lives as the promise of the Father that he gives us to receive the Holy Spirit, to have intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, that we can talk to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is there to do all these things, to lead us, to guide us, empower us, and to transform us. Next, we went over the Father's authority. Next slide. It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. It's a place of surrender to the Father's authority in our lives. That the disciples here in this passage, they long for the end time when they believe God would restore the kingdom of Israel. However, Jesus' vision is far greater than a political kingdom. Jesus' focus is the kingdom of God. And I think it's a timely message for us as politics plays a huge role in our lives and it becomes our identity. If politics has become your identity and you're a follower of Jesus, you've placed your identity in the wrong thing because Jesus was not about that. Jesus had a bigger and greater focus, and his focus was the kingdom of God. And the disciples struggled with the same issue. They were more concerned about the restoration of Israel versus Jesus says that Jesus came to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so part of this, though, we surrender to God's timing and authority in our lives. One of the hardest things for us to do as followers of Jesus is to surrender to his timing and to his authority in our lives when things don't go the way we want them to go, when things don't go the way we thought they would go, when things do not happen at the timing we thought they would happen, or things happen at the wrong timing, whatever it may be, we surrender to the Father's authority in our lives. The next thing we went through was the Father's empowerment, where I shared about how you, from this verse, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Father's empowerment. That the Holy Spirit helps us to live empowered lives, to be and do what God has called us to be and do by dwelling in us. The source of our empowerment is not ourselves, but the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And so as we talk about the Holy Spirit and being empowered to do and to be what God has called us to do, and the reason I bring those two things together in terms of being and doing, those are very two separate things, but also go hand in hand together, that our being is something that is happening within us, that God is working in us, but then is manifested in our lives in terms of what we are doing in our lives as well. And one of the biggest things when it comes to character and integrity is who you are and what you do align and come together. That's why when I was reading here in Acts chapter 1 in verse 1, where Jesus says that Jesus began to do and to teach, that what he taught aligned with who he was as a person. And we cannot do that on our own strength. That is something that we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it is the Holy Spirit who empowers us to do so by dwelling us, by living in us. He is our source of empowerment, not ourselves, but the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Stop looking at yourself to be the source of change and transformation in your life. Surrender, surrender, surrender to the Holy Spirit by simply coming before him saying, Holy Spirit, I need you. I cannot be and do what you have called me to be and do without you. And then lastly, as I get to this last point of, oh, come Holy Spirit, for what purpose? For what purpose? That's the question I've been wrestling for and trying to answer. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit goes beyond working in us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to work through our lives. Okay? For what purpose? It's twofold. The Holy Spirit is working in our lives, but the Holy Spirit is also working through our lives as well. We can make our relationship with God to be very self-centered. Whenever I talk to people about church or community or their relationship with God, is always me-centered and me-focused. Just the fact that if we share a message or a sermon on, hey, this is why you should come to House Church, is based mostly on how is it going to benefit me. Versus the work of the Holy Spirit is twofold. The Holy Spirit is concerned about what is happening in your life, but the Holy Spirit is also concerned about what he wants to do through your life as well. And so when we get to this verse here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Here Jesus shares a little bit about the Father's mission. And the first thing that we see here in this scripture, it says, and you will be my witnesses. Okay? What was before We're going to do a quick little Bible study here as I go through this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The next word is and. Okay? What is and? And is a conjunction. It is there to convey a connection between a similar idea and of both equal importance. So what the writer here is saying is that, hey, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So those two things go hand in hand when the writer here is saying power and witnesses go together. It is not just power for your own personal life, but it's power to be a witness as well. And those are of equal importance in our lives, that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. And the next verse here where it says, the same verse, and you will be my witnesses. The next part of that is you will be. Okay, I'm looking at this almost word by word, almost a little bit, okay? So I went through and then I won't go through each towards the end. I'll do a chunk on that. The next part of this is this, you will be. Who has he chosen? You. He has chosen you. We are the ones that he has chosen. In all our imperfections, in all our brokenness, in all our woundedness, he chooses us. I love this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, and it says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Jars of clay, what the writer here is trying to convey is jars are very fragile and very easily broken. Yet God entrusts something, it says here, a heavenly treasure into something that is so fragile that can easily be wounded and broken. God has chosen you to be that jars of clay, and he empowers you with the Holy Spirit. Yes, in all your woundedness and all your brokenness, God chooses you. And for many of us, I think we're always looking to just completely get out of our brokenness and out of our woundedness. And that's part of the journey and part of the process. But we let that be a hindrance for God working through our lives. Versus most of the time, what God is wanting to do in our lives is in the middle of our brokenness, in the middle of our woundedness, he still chooses us. And he uses that woundedness and that brokenness to touch the hearts of others who may have the same brokenness and the same woundedness that you may have in your life. And he does this as a reminder that the power does not belong to us, but it belongs to God. That we're not the ones at work, but it is God working in our lives. And so as we look through the next word, where here the author says that you will be my witnesses, I want to focus on then those next two words, my witnesses. Who do we witness about? We witness about Jesus. Remember, it's not about you. It's not about us. It's not about SP. It is about Jesus. We witness what we have seen and what we have heard and what we know about who Jesus is. We don't point others towards ourselves. We don't even point others towards SP. We point others towards Jesus. SP is just part of a greater thing of what God is doing. SP is not the only church. SP is not the only church reaching out people, being missional. There are so many other churches in Hong Kong. It's not about us. It is about Jesus, that when we witness to people, we're pointing people to Jesus so that when they say, hey, who are you to tell me what to do? You're not perfect. You're right. This is why it's about Jesus. My imperfections are not about me. It's about a reason for us to point to Jesus in our lives. And we witness what we have seen, heard, and know. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that movie Amazing Grace about the slave trade in the UK. And there's this moment, I might butcher the story, but it's this moment where I think they're talking about the song Amazing Grace. And the only thing I remember is a response. He's asking him something about I forget what he's asking, but essentially the guy responds, "All I know is that once I was blind, but now I see." Just share what you know. Just share what you have experienced about God. Sometimes we feel that we need to have these arguments that are well put together, and sometimes they work amazing and it's good. We should be equipped to make those arguments, but sometimes all we can say, "All I know is that I was broken and hurt and all these areas in my life, and Jesus came into my life and he brought healing and restoration, reconciliation into my relationships. I don't know anything else, but I know that Jesus has made a difference in my life." We share what we know, what we have witnessed Jesus do in our own lives. We witness with our being and our doing. That we witness with our being. The gospel is proclaimed in our lives by how it transforms us into making us new people, by how we live our lives, by our character, by the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. How is God working in who you are becoming as a person? Not just a better person, but how is God working in your life and making you more like Jesus? Character is one of the biggest witnesses that you will have in the workplace. Especially when everyone is doing the opposite of what you are doing. Character is the one thing that we need in our lives. That is a light and a witness to others. And trust me, I get it. Sometimes I work in a church, so we're all going in the same direction. Everyone at work is trying to be like Jesus. But I get it. In your workplace, you might be the only one that is trying to be like Jesus. And you're saying, "God, it's so hard to be like you." When things like that don't work in the workplace. So we begin to compartmentalize our workplace and what we do with our faith. We'll say, "Hey, I'll be a Christian outside of here, but here I need to be someone different and I need to operate differently." And that comes from our being, from our character, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The next thing in terms of how we witness is with our doing. Is by, yes, proclaiming the gospel, sharing the gospel with people. That means literally just telling people, "Hey, Jesus loves you. He died for your sins. Will you believe?" Other times is by the good works that we do. And their good works can be big or small. Don't look at the big things that we're always looking for a home run to hit in our walks with God. Just do the small things. Hong Kong, hold the elevator for someone. They'll be like, "What's, there's something different about you." Do the small things in your workplace that show that there's something in your life. Love one another. Love your neighbor. Love your enemies. And this is one of the hardest things for us to do. It's easy to love those that don't hurt us. It's harder to love those that cause trouble or chaos or the difficult people in our lives that we've labeled them. Those are the way we handle, we work through people in our conflicts and our relationships is a big witness in our lives. So love one another. Our lives are part of a greater story. And each of us, we all have our individual stories, but they are part of a greater story. God's story of redemption, restoration, and reconciliation. God invites us to partner with him to be part of the greater story. Our lives are filled with meaning and purpose. That work or place that you find meaningless and purposeless, you're wrong. There is meaning and purpose for where God has called you and where God has placed you. And in the last section of this verse where it says, "In Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Here, Jesus tells the disciples how far they will go. The mission set before the disciples is far greater than what they could have conceived and fulfilled. It would take them near and outside of their comforts. If you read the book of Acts, the rest of the book of Acts is about the disciples of Jesus going to places both near and far, to people near and far, beyond their place of comfort. And so as we look at that place to the ends of the earth, and we're looking at our places of comfort that are both near and far and beyond, that we can't imagine it, yet how could we ever do it? It is through the Holy Spirit who empowers us to go into these places. He will take you near and far and outside your place of comfort. And I think if I would say one word for SP, it would be complacency. I think we've grown complacency with being near, and we've become comfortable with not going far and beyond the places and people of comfort in our lives. And so as I finish today's message and just conclude here, that when we align and surrender our lives to God's redemptive story, it will take us near and outside of our comforts to perhaps people and places we may not even like, to places we may have never imagined or believed we would go. So what do we need to do? We need to adopt a mission mindset for our lives. And so what is a mission mindset? This is it. That we witness everywhere. That wherever we are, that is our place of mission. Are you a son? That is your place of mission. Are you a daughter? That is your place of mission. Are you a friend? That is your place of mission. Are you a coworker? That is your place of mission. Are you a boss? That is your place of mission. Are you an employee? That is your place of mission. Are you a husband? That is your place of mission. Are you a wife? That is your place of mission. I got like 8 more to go. Bear with me. Are you a mother? That is your place of mission. Are you a father? That is your place of mission. Are you a family member? That is your place of mission. Are you a member of society? That is your place of mission. Are you a church community member? That is your place of mission. Any community that you belong to, whether it be basketball, football, running, whatever, that is your place of mission. Your work, your career, that is your place of mission. And whatever I couldn't think of or just thought this list would be too long, that is your place of mission in your life. So begin to think differently, that where God has called you, where God has placed you, and the people in your workplace that you may have found difficult, that is your place of mission in your life. That he calls you to go into these places. He calls you to go to build these relationships with people that you may share the gospel of who Jesus Christ is. And so living missionally, to be able to do, to be and do what God has called us to be and do, is not a solo effort that we orchestrate by our human will and determination, but it is in partnership with God who empowers us through the Holy Spirit. All these places I've mentioned are places of mission. I think the reason why we stop looking at them as places of mission is because we begin to compartmentalize our faith and our relationship with God. And I think even as a church, maybe sometimes we do a disjustice in saying that work is secular. And if you go online and the sermon notes are on there, there's at the end of the sermon notes, there's 3 resources that I put out. One of them is by Jordan Rayner, and he talks about how faith and work and how work is not secular, but is actually holy, and it is your place of mission. It is a place where God calls you to be. But I think many times we compartmentalize all these things. We compartmentalize being a father or a mother or a son or a daughter. And so we don't think about how God wants to enter these places, how God wants to enter into our relationships to bring about change and transformation into our lives. And if you're in a place of desperation, I would say turn your desperation into a prayer. Me and my wife, we started reading this one book on, I forgot what it's called now. Something about forming habits. But essentially, it was about, I think it was the father that was sharing. And he was sharing how, man, he was just having a hard time with his son, I think. And so what the father just started to do, that's his desperation, right? He's having a hard time with his son. His desperation is then when his son goes to sleep, he's just at the door saying, God, help me. Help me. Help me to be the father that my son needs in his life. You know, as parents, one of the biggest places of witness is our home, is our children who are yet to know Christ, but they see you and they see how you're pointing and lighting the way to Jesus. That for them, the way they're going to view God has a huge impact in terms of how we as parents relate to our kids, in terms of the way we do authority and the way we do service and the way we love one another and the way we talk to one another as husbands and wives. All these different things are places of witness in our lives, and the same place in the workplace. And so I want to invite the worship team to come up, and I want to invite you to stand up as we go into a time of worship. And we just say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Because we cannot do it without you. You might be saying, oh, it's so hard. You know, I'll share with you a story. It doesn't belittle our hardness, but I'll share a story just to show you that, yes, it is hard. But when we allow God to do the hard things in our lives, amazing thing happens. When I was in Kenya, and I was teaching at a school of theology, and one of the things they had there was they had issues about tribe in terms of there's certain lines that you just don't cross. And so for quite a while, there's two different tribes that one's in the desert, the other one has water, it's a bit more flourishing and so forth. So sometimes those from the desert, they come over and they try to steal some of their stuff, some of their fruits, because they have so much fruit, some of their water. And so it becomes into this cycle of violence in their lives. And so, but normally what happens is not just, hey, one person going, it's a whole village attacking the other village. And they'll burn up houses and people die and get killed. And so one day we're on the desert side of this conflict that has been going on. And one of our students, I thought essentially each people group is reaching out to each people group. And I start hearing the story of one of our students, and he begins to share how he's lost his family because he's actually from the other side. They've invaded and raided his village. They've burned everything. He's lost family. Yet God has called him to do the hard thing and to go to the other village and to be a light, and he's a teacher there, and he shares the gospel there. Yes, sometimes it's really hard what God calls us to do, and I hope it's hard. I hope it seems impossible, because that's what Ephesians says, that he is able to do above and beyond what you can ever ask for. And when things become hard, that's why we get to that place of surrender where we say, Holy Spirit, I need you. So let's go into this time of worship. And I believe the Holy Spirit is already stirring hearts towards us being a people that live missionally. So we just simply say, come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Let's worship. Selfless faith. I want us to respond to today's message. And so I want to invite you to respond to what the Holy Spirit is stirring in your heart right now. So if you sense the Holy Spirit doing this in your heart, where you felt that you've settled, you've become complacent with sharing the gospel, you've become complacent with things about the kingdom of God, then I want to invite you to respond. I want to invite you to respond and come to the front if you feel that you need a renewed sense of passion in your life for the gospel. That he's placed you and called you in a particular place, but you've lost passion about the place where you're at, that you've lost passion about the people that he's placed around you, and you're saying, God, renew my passion for where you've placed me. Renew my passion for the people around me. Or maybe you're asking God, God, give me a vision for my workplace. Give me a vision for what you want to do in this place, whether it's just to touch one life, to cause one ripple effect, whatever it is, God, give me a vision for what you want to do. Holy Spirit, I need you. If that is you, I want to invite you to come to the front and just respond. And we just say, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. What breaks your heart, God? Lost people break your heart. And you're inviting us to your greater story to become a part of that, of restoration, reconciliation, and redemption. So God, we just respond to you this morning, to you, Holy Spirit. And so I invite you to respond to this message as we continue worship.
I see the King of glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, whole earth shakes. This is love. I see his love and mercy washing over.
you for each person that responded. Holy Spirit, you're ministering to their hearts right now. You're giving them vision for their workplace. Father, I pray for those that have felt discouraged about their workplace as being meaningless and purposeless. But I pray, Holy Spirit, that you begin to stir their hearts and to begin to see what is before them. That the people in our lives are there for a reason. And so, Father, I pray that you will soften our hearts, that we would not see enemies or we would not see difficult people, but that we would see sons and daughters that you've called us to minister and to pray with and to share your light with. So, Father, I just pray for windows, for opportunities to share the gospel. That is our place of mission. So, Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives. We just surrender to you. Let that be our prayer anytime we go right into work. Holy Spirit, I cannot be and do what you have called me to do without you. So, Father, I thank you that you're bringing the right people into their lives, that you're going to be a difference. They're going to be like that teacher that shared the gospel and a ripple effect was caused. So, Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do a different benediction. Now may the Father's promise of the power of the Holy Spirit be upon you, calling you to go near, far, and beyond your places of comfort with places and people as he has called you to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.